This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds. And ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey. Let me bang again.
I let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with me and Bill Dawes, who's looking good. I didn't recognize him with his clothes on.
Yeah,
you look solid. What are you, audition or what's going on?
Well, I'm wearing a sweater because the chicks dig sweaters, and I have a nice pleather jacket from Target.
Nah, well, you look solid, man. You look good. And it was your birthday. You turned 50.
How dare you say that word?
Was it? Is that what happened?
I will neither confirm or deny that I'm going to kill myself because I turned 50.
Why would you kill? Look, you look good. You got a full head of hair. You're a black belt. You work as an actor. You're a working actor, which is better than 99.9999999 people in Hollywood. You travel the world doing stand up comedy. You're opening for a gay German. Okay. But you don't look. Has there ever been a point in your career where you've looked at yourself and you were proud of where you were at?
You know what? The way I look at it is like when things are going really well, I never feel happy or proud. I just feel relieved.
Relieved.
Just briefly, like a respite from the friggin' maddening.
Do you feel like stress? Do you feel like you're always one mess up away from it all going away?
Well, I'll say this, Adam. You've been in Gutfeld for how long now?
3 years.
Like 3 years. I have literally never had a job for 3 years. The longest job I've ever had has been a year and like a year and 8 months in my career.
But my, you know, I use the old cocaine dealer technique, right? And it works once in a while. This is my advice. And it's working for Gutfeld as of now, but I just knocked on wood. Whereas you overproduce, like the first thing is like you get somebody hooked. So you go, hey, here's some, like every coke dealer that I've ever met who's successful, there's a couple, you know, growing up, they give you free coke in the beginning. Hey, ask them for, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is awesome, and then they charge you. So yes. I try to give them. So when I got hired to writing, I didn't write 8 jokes like they asked. I gave them 30. Yeah. 30 jokes.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, that way they're like, holy shit, this guy can. And also, like, I'm at the point now where I'm doing comedy for 26, 27 years where I could actually do that, you know, where I could go through and like, and people think joke writing is like, oh, you just come up with jokes. Like people, like there are many times where I'm out with my friends and I'm like, hey, I got to go. I got to write the jokes for Gutfeld. Oh, I could help. Or they're like, oh, you know, which is nice, which is very nice. Or hey, you know, bring them over here, or just, you know, shoot them out. And I'm like, no, it's a little different. Oh, and then some of them are like, I watched the show. Trust me, dude, it's the art of joke writing is not just zingers. It's seeing, like, going through articles and seeing, you know, 19 paragraphs, and how do I get that into 7 words? So what don't I need? So taking away all the information you don't need and then figure out a punchline, and that punchline has got to be different than the one yesterday or the day before or the week before. And also it's like, what's the twist on it? And the way Greg likes it is it has to go, you know, 6 different ways or 5 different ways. So to give him options, and it's not as, it is so time consuming, and it's not something that, like, Somebody told me that, like, man, if you're a good comic, the actual comedy is a really boring job when you actually, not the actual art of it, but the writing. I mean, it's so true. When I used to watch Chris Rock, like, train for his special, go to the things, he would just read the jokes with no emphasis, just read them as if with not like Chris Rock does them. And then if they got a laugh, he would go, pow, pow, pow. I mean, and that's, but yeah, no, it's, I mean, you know this because I've seen you did it, like for you, when you did that, like, Golden Globe thing, like last year, and you had like 30 jokes for each category. I mean, you really went all in. And I'm like, but you're one of the few comedians that's actually, I mean, there's so many comedians where, like, I'll watch them and I'm like, and the writing is like, it just could be so much better, you know? But I mean, that's me too. And I like, I after work, since working at Greg, I look at my old stuff and I'm like, oh, this shit could be so much tighter, so much tighter. But as far as, like, you've never had a, but you've also never been a regular on a, you're always like doing
Well,
movies.
that's what it is. It's like I'm just wanting that one series where I can be a regular and just like punch in with a time card and
Yeah.
leave and feel like a normal person
Have you
who's attracted to females.
been close?
Oh, dude, Adam, one day we're gonna drink beer or smoke weed or just pop Adderall, whatever it is we want to do. And I'll tell you the stories of it. You wouldn't believe the amount of things I've been close to that, like, literally, hey, it's between you and another person for X. And then you just wait, you're like literally waiting by the phone because you're supposed to get the call. And, you get, after a while, you get used to it. The first one was my first big audition was Smallville for Lex Luthor. They told me I had the offer, and and they're like, just wait, we're getting down the details for the offer, so just wait. So I went to a movie to like celebrate, but my phone's next to me in the movie theater. I just kept looking over, like, what the fuck is taking so long? Sure enough, Michael Rosenbaum decided to come in, but that was just like the first of, like,
Now,
at that
how
time
much do
it
you think
was.
it is other factors involved? Because I remember when I was on, like, Last Comic Standing, the first 3 times, they picked me. The first 2 years, they picked me. When you go to Hollywood, they're like, "You're going to Las Vegas," and they filmed me celebrating and yay, but and me crying and talking. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call a week later, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, you're not on the show anymore." I go, "But I didn't get to go to Vegas, and you picked me." "Oh, well, we picked 50 people, but we only keep 45." And then they would. And they just edited me out of the whole show as if it never happened. And that happened 3 years in a row. Three.
Really, the same thing, the same, you're going to Hollywood and then you didn't?
Yes.
That's wild.
And then finally, the last time, I just cursed out. I called up the executive producer. I cursed him out on the phone. I'm like, "You motherfucker." I was like, I pretty much quit. I'm like, "I'm fucking done with Hollywood. I'm done with all this shit. This is bull." Because they were just, what happens is, like I was saying, is they pick 45 people, but then they go, "Oh, who's manager? Who's managing who? Or who's friends with who?" And then one of them, I had an old manager that I left go, "Hey, just so you know, I'm repping the host. Our host, the host of the show, is one of my clients. So good luck, buddy." And so basically, told me he got me written off the show. Oh,
Adam Hunter is
or
admitting to be a comedian tomato can.
canceled. So then I was like, "Fuck it." Then I knew somebody that, like, knew somebody that went to the top. They got me back on the Vegas thing, and then I was like, "All right, I'm gonna come on the show and be the villain because it's not me being myself is not working." So they flew me back to LA, I mean to Vegas, and I get there and I'm like, "I'm better than everyone here. I'm the greatest comic ever. Everyone here sucks." It was like right when the first year of The Ultimate Fighter came out, so I just like picked, I basically picked, like, I don't know, a character that I'm like, "I'm gonna be that guy," and then they walked me right through, and then I'm like, all of a sudden, like, "Oh, this is our villain," right? But then I got into a house with a bunch of comedians, like Eliza Schlesinger and Jeff Dye and all these people. And I'm like, "Fuck, I'm gonna be the most hated human being on the planet." So what I'll do is, whenever they ask me a question, I'll be the good guy. And I every time they ask me a question, I somehow brought it back to how I used to work with kids who had cancer in like New York City. So they'd be like, "Why do you think you're gonna win Last Comic Standing today?" Well, because this kid that I used to work with who had cancer at the Ronald McDonald House. So I'm like, that way they have to, they can't, what are they going to do there? But they still kind of fucked me because there was like one final, like the last round, they were like, you know, we said we were, no one's going to perform, but guess what? You're all performing. And I was so happy because I also made a mistake of going off my antidepressants before I got into the house, thinking that that would help me be more interesting. Sure. And all it did was make me more irritable. And Jim Taveray kept farting every fucking night, and I had a bunk bed. So I finally, and they said it was a talent competition. This was our challenges. Go to the girls, the playmates next door, and read them children's stories at the Playboy Mansion. Right, which the girls hated me because my story was about like the little stripper that could or something, and then the other one was we had a Jamie Kennedy hosted a Yo Mama contest in a boxing ring that Jamie Kennedy judged, and then the third one was go to Home Depot and do props with Carrot Top, right? So it became like
those are pretty good.
Dude, it became a bad improv game. None of it had to do with stand-up comedy. So finally, when they're like, you're all doing comedy, I was like, finally, right? They had me, but everyone else is upset, right? But I'm like, finally. Then I watched the show to that scene, and they go, you're all going to do comedy. And they picked a video of me going like this from like earlier. And then they cut to Jeff Dye going, man, Adam Hunter really looked like he didn't want to be there. He's really, I'm like, motherfucker, like that, none of that happened. Like that was the opposite of what happened. So
yeah, anyway, of course.
I don't know, but Mayhem, how are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for asking. What a great show MMA Roasted it is.
Yes.
I'm glad that you guys are already busting out the inside baseball sort of Hollywood talk, man. I like that.
Well, we're talking about Bill's birthday. What did you do on your birthday?
Wait, you're talking about Bill's birthday?
Yeah, Bill's birthday.
I did have a nice, did I talk about this last time? I had a nice MMA moment.
What happened?
Where someone tried to steal my bike?
No.
Someone tried to steal my bike. They were on their bike and they were moving my bike with their hand. They'd just broken the lock. They literally broke it like 10 seconds before I got there. And I see them, I go, give me my bike. And the guy threw the bike at me. So I ran up to him and I kicked his wheel as hard as I could and totally wiped out and like fractured my hip.
Oh God. So and, he stole your bike.
Basically like I completely failed.
You had the bike. You could have left well enough alone.
Like, I could have. You're right. You're 100% right. That's like that's a karmic lesson.
Yeah, but what's the point of being a black belt if you can kick a bike without breaking your hip? I mean,
I should have used my actual skills as opposed to my faux Muay Thai skills, which I clearly don't have.
No, well, you did. You did. You snatched the bike back like a good jiu-jitsu man would. But then what? Oh, it turned into fucking Sagat? We're going to
I love that Mayhem is now at a point in his life where he's telling someone else to leave well enough alone.
I know. And I love it. He's become the Buddha.
I never in my life. This is a guy who like leave well enough alone.
Whatever, dog. I'm not leaving well enough alone. That's what you're not understanding. I'm just like living by a code and like being very careful with my movements because they're significant. My actions echo into the future, buddy. You got to make sure those actions are proper.
Now, the Andrew Tate, right? Didn't he say online that he was going to be black people, I'm your king again? And then Jason, and then you said to him, you couldn't even be king of a black guy at my gym.
No, he said he's king of black people. I said, please.
I mean, why would he say I'm the king? Is he even, Andrew Tate even half black?
No, listen, it's a simple formula, bro. And we're all figuring it out. He was an edgelord. So if he says these things to boost engagement, what he gets is a lot of people all fired up, whatever he's all. And he's the ringleader of this silliness.
Yeah.
If you're going to look, we all want to be shocked. Twitter, oh my God, because I was the king of that thing. You shock everybody, shockety, shock, shock. But the reality is, is that it's foolish. It's like childish for him to be saying that kind of thing, you know, when he knows is it will elicit a response from both liberal white women and black men. It's like he's on purpose doing that because he's light-skinned.
And he's light-skinned.
No, to me, I'm not even angry. I'm just pointing out his hypocrisy, his silliness. The fact that his African genes gave him a couple of abs, you know, has turned him into a fitness guru. While this dumb fuck is smoking cigars, drinking whiskey, fucking Romanian prostitutes, and they're thinking that he's the man because he found out that pimping ain't easy. He read them, Don Magic Wand's book, and then suddenly became a British poppycock pimp. Bitch.
By the way, speaking of black people, on my TikTok, somehow Rampage Jackson's first MMA fight came up. Did you ever watch this, Jason?
Sick. Talking about Mike Powell?
No, he fought Marvin Eastman. Marvin the Beastman.
No,
Eastman.
He fought Mike Powell before that. He fought Mike Powell before that in Memphis.
Oh, that was the first one? Okay, well, he fought Eastman early on. And
yeah.
and they were all
King of the Cage.
King of the Cage, these announcers, I think it was Ken Shamrock was the announcer, but they were talking about Rampage as if like, man, we don't know who this guy is, but man, is he in trouble picking Marvin the Beast Eastman. They talked about Rampage like he was like the average guy to walk into the fight. They knew nothing about him, and they were like, and he lost the fight. If it went one more round, I think Rampage would have won the fight. And you could see there was a little bit of a skill level between Eastman and Rampage at that point. And then all of a sudden, you know, Rampage was that. But it was just so funny hearing these people that had no idea.
To watch the progress, to watch the progression of a champion, you know, a guy who got lumped up by Marvin Eastman, a pretty one-dimensional striking type MMA fighter, but then to later go on and understand the entire game, be able to.
Yeah, but it also it was interesting to see how the announcers had no idea who Rampage was, like how they just basically were.
It's always that way. It's always that way. And it's always a great man to outshine the announcers.
Yeah. Was that how they were with you too, Jason?
What? Yeah. What was your first fight like? What's the story of your first fight?
My first fight was Al Superman Dill at the damn. Well, I don't know. You know, it's been both ways. Every announcer is just a human man. You know, he can make mistakes and he's making assumptions. And, you know, he has all the data that he's sent with. And a lot of times, even King of the Cage, it's not like they did a great scouting report on Rampage. Yeah, and at that stage in his career, Rampage had diminished skills compared to, Marvin Eastman. Marvin Eastman had a lot of Muay Thai training, was like a strong kickboxer and a decent wrestler, like a very good athlete. You know, at that stage in the game, Rampage had just been like, you know, brawling in Memphis, doing takedowns, slam the guy because he was a great high school wrestler.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but as far as announcing, did people not know how good you were? Did you ever get counted out, or did you come in with hype?
No. I mean, look, I showed up on the grappling scene and was dominating guys for like 10 years, like really. When I was like 19, I started choking people out in tournaments, and then everybody, the word got around. It's somehow not on the internet, really, not these days, but the Naga, I won that. I won all types of grappling conventions, man, like all over the Southeast, everywhere. I also... But it's funny because I did all those and won all those. But, you know, it's like the losses that I remember, like the cauliflower ear, this motherfucker, I wore a headgear and got choked out by Spider in damn Nashville, Tennessee, because the headgear got caught in his triangle. I was so mad because I was trying to make my ear not cauliflowered. Hey, not only that, when I took the headgear off, it was full of blood. My ear had popped.
Wow. Yeah, dude, I remember first getting cauliflower ear and my ear would turn purple. And then no one back then, you just drain it. I'm sure you still now you just drain it. But as soon as you take a shower.
I tried, bro. I had a girl that worked at a veterinary clinic. OK, girlfriend, nice girl, snored horribly. But she got me a bunch of damn needles that they use to inject the dogs with venom or something. I don't know what, but I would pull it out, pull it out, pull it out. And lucky for that, it still looks semi-human. Other than that, bro, it would be game over, bro. It would be like folded over. I jammed it in there and shrunk it out, bro. I sacrificed my ear for a choke.
Dude, I remember when the only girls that like thought they were like cool were like gothic girls who liked The Cure. Girls, they were like, "Oh, your ear's purple. That's so cool." Yeah, that was it. And those weren't.
Yeah, God. Hey, big titty goth girls, I'm with it.
Big titty. Oh my God. All right. So did you, anybody watch Real American Freestyle Wrestling?
Buddy, I only saw a highlight. I'm mad because I'm not mad. I was flying back from a spiritual retreat and missed it.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. There was one throw. I'm trying to find it.
Tell me this before you go into your full review. Cause I know you studied it. Did Armin Sarukian really tech ball that guy 10-0 or like like wear him out first or is he just that maniac? Wow.
It was crazy because Lance Palmer, I think, was a 4-time All-American, beat Bubba Jenkins, I think 1 in 8 times. Great wrestler.
Yeah.
But I know also he's also 40 years old. Okay, he's also 40 years old, yet he hasn't wrestled in 15 years. Like competitively, you know, maybe even more than that. And Sarukian's in his prime. But yes, people were like, no one knew how good Sarukian was at wrestling, but he came out and right away, he just hit him for like a 5-throw, like boom. And then,
Like what did he hit him with?
So see if I can find it. Real American Freestyle. Okay,
because I'd love to see it, bro. You know, that's pretty amazing that he got a 5-point throw on this guy. Well, I mean, not so amazing, I guess, with 40 years old, but still, you know, you figure you'd catch a sprawl, you know, or maybe he's out of practice. I don't know. The Sarukian headline is pretty shocking. I'll just be honest. Because I figured it would be
He didn't hit him with the 5-throw. Here we go. So he hit him with this. All right. Well, actually, I'm kind of an idiot, but it was still good. He hit him with almost like a cement mixer run over. Can you see?
Nope.
So this is.
Yeah. Go.
All right. It's already up 6-0. He kept hitting him with that. He got him with that.
Shit.
And then he got with the gut wrench.
No, I saw the highlight. I'm talking about the takedown. Oh, nice. Yeah. I hit that in practice yesterday because of that. Now, show me the takedown, though. Hey, I did it on one of my 135 pounders. I threw him like through the ceiling when I did it. It was great.
It was almost like he hit him, I think, with like a cement mixer throw. It was unconventional, but yeah, he's got insane upper body strength. Upper body strength. And no one was expecting it because everyone, I think, thought of him as like a more grappler guy or jiu-jitsu guy or whatever. Nobody could see it coming, but there was also no tape on him. That's what Chael was saying, that no one knew anything about how good of a grappler he was, but he kind of ran.
Why? Because he's like, he's like behind the fucking wrestling curtain in Dagestan. Where is he from? Armenia?
Is this it right here? They're pretty good with like not letting anyone see. Oh, this is it.
I know. Secret Armenian training camp.
Right here.
Yeah. Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was going to be a bunch of front headlocks. Yeah, no, that's not strength. That's technique and strength combined, dude. He hit him with he caught him with his chest on his head, bowed his belly out, and fucking snapped him. You're right about that upper body strength. But yeah, a front headlock like that to tilt somebody, man, clever technique, clever.
Yeah, and then there was a Kyle Dake. So this other guy beat him 10-0. In the Olympic trials, Kyle Dake was a 4-time national champion. So this was like their big match to come back. And Kyle Dake won barely. He won by like 1 point. He was up big, but he hit like he hit a crazy lateral throw, but it was almost like a choke. And then the guy tapped. And people said it looked kind of, he held on to it. Mayhem, I want to know if you think this was dirty. I mean, it was like dirty as in like nasty.
I'll tell you what. Okay. It's called real wrestling, right? Real American Federation, yeah. Or is that what it's called? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's real wrestling. I wrestled nationals in 2002. And there's a man in the weight class two above me that got like parterre position. The guy ran around to the front and gave him escape and then held the guy in a legal like headlock choke.
Yeah.
Choked the man plumb out. Referee stopped the match. The guy woke up and was like, oh, son of a, I got caught in that. They restarted the match and he won the match, bro. He came back from sleeping to winning the match. That kind of story, it only happens in wrestling. So yeah, the technique is valid. You can choke a man out in a wrestling match legally, but you know, once he wakes your ass.
Yeah, Kyle Dake versus he beat this guy Kadik and or Kadik. I'm sure I'm gonna get shit for saying Kadik.
That sounds about right. A log.
Let me see where it is. Let me see where I can find the throw. Can you guys see this? It was pretty. What the fuck? This is not. I don't know what this is. Kyle Dake throw. But yeah. All right. Also, Colby Covington. While I try to find this, you know, it's easier when like people like Rogan or someone, they have like, hey Jamie, bring it up. You know.
Hey, honestly, you're doing a fucking great job, and just have Joe cut this part out where we're fucking talking shit to you.
So he got.
By the way, while we're waiting time, you want to see the bruise I got in my hip from fucking trying to kick this bike? There you go.
Probably not. No, definitely not. No.
I like this. Probably not. Yeah, let me see it.
See it?
Yeah, Kyle. You see it? Time to run it back. Kyle Day.
Leave it to a jiu-jitsu man to leave the fight with a bruise on his ass.
Yeah. So, man, Kyle Day. So anyway, so he basically threw the guy. He had two overhooks, Jason. He had two overs, and yeah. then he locked his hands. Launched the guy.
I don't see it, man.
Fuck. Damn, Kyle. Anyway. Also,
I'm looking.
Also, Colby Covington beat Luke Rockhold. And afterwards.
In what promotion?
In this wrestling.
Oh, shit.
He beat his meat?
Yeah, he beat him.
What happened with him?
He tech-falled him. And and then afterwards, Colby thanked the government as well as ICE. It is.
Wait, are you telling me they deported Rockhold after the match?
No, but Kobe's like, hey, I want to thank everybody, the heroes.
Hey, the loser leaves town match. Loser goes to Venezuela match.
Hilarious,
dude. I mean,
was
Luke Rockhold? Was he a really good wrestler?
No,
I always thought he was more of a karate guy.
No, he was not a karate. No, he was a good. He was a high school wrestler, and I guess he was a good high school wrestler. But Colby was a 4-time All American wrestler.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So it really wasn't that fair, you know. But then
they have bad blood. They have a beef or something.
They had no bad blood. But the thing about Luke Rockhold now. So now Luke Rockhold, since MMA, he got knocked out in boxing by Darren Till, flatline. He got beat in bare knuckle boxing by Mike Perry. He got tech falled by Colby Covington. So Luke posts on Instagram, time for.
So next he's got to lose a jump rope contest to my 10-year-old. And then he's got to lose a fucking hopscotch to your 6-year-old. And then he's got you know what I mean? This guy is just fucking rolling downhill. I hope he puts together a couple of wins and fucking gets his life on track.
First of all, he's a polo model. He should just retire, bang hot women, and do bad B movies. Why is he still fighting?
Who wants to fuck a hot old dude? He keeps getting fucked off. What are you talking about, bro? Nobody wants that. They got like 700 young bulls right in front of them they can pick from instead of this guy, this fucking old schmo.
No, but dude, not only that, but he says that he's going to do power slap next. He posted.
Yeah, yeah. Checks out. Hey, That checks out. Is that the bottom rung of combat sports or not? I mean, if he builds up a few, hey, power slap fucking wins, I can get him into Carjitsu anytime now.
Dude, I think come on, you can't do power slap.
Well, I think he would dominate at Carjitsu. No cap, no fucking joke. I think Luke Rockhold will be the Carjitsu champion of the fucking world. No cap.
I would 10 times rather see him do Carjitsu than power slap. Because if he does
power. Me too.
Because he might get
Hopefully Dana will bonus him out on the power slap. Hopefully Dana will open the PI to the power slap for Luke Rockhold. And hopefully Dana's wife will be there to help him train.
Oh, God. All right. So here, I got it. I actually found it. Here we go. So Mayhem, let me know what you think about this throw right here. Can you see?
Nope.
You can't see?
Share screen. Oh, I can see now. I had to swipe. All right, let's see, bud.
All right, so he right here.
Well, first of all, beard game off the chain. Amish right. And Dagestan right here, combined.
Right here. Why not? So here, he gets a throw here, and he keeps it. I think it's a tap.
Yeah. He's tapping. Don't let go until the referee pulls you off. That's it. That's what happens. Yeah, what do you mean? Is it dirty? Not really. What's that? What are you asking me right now? Is it illegal?
Do they call?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you mean? Show it one more time. Show it one more time.
I just got it out.
Because I have the sneaking suspicion.
Yeah.
That it's a variation of the Armin Sarukian throw that you just showed.
Right here. Okay. So here. So now
let me see.
All right, he's got two overhooks right here. Hold on, he's got.
You're not sharing the screen. Sharing the screen. Hold is on. That part of the appeal of this show?
No. I'm gonna share the screen. All right, ready and. All right, now you can see. Hold on.
Yes.
All right.
Blow it up big.
Yeah.
All right. So now, run just a throw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Kyle's here. Villain, we got two overhooks right there. And he keeps that.
Yeah. Wait. What? You're talking about he attempted to throw and blew it?
No, he threw it, but right here he keeps. He has two overhooks, and then he keeps it or out of bounds. He keeps the choking right there.
Yeah, this is the referee's responsibility.
And then the guy's pissed because he's like, "What the fuck?" All right.
Wait, what do you mean? The referee did not intervene. This is legal contact.
But like, he was out of bounds, though, right?
Whatever. The referee is in charge of the match. Keep working until the referee makes a firm statement for you to do something different. And then if not, then there you go. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
You protect yourself at all times is and any combat sport, that's the philosophy. Protect yourself at all times. Hey, if you tap out, and the referee didn't do anything. This is bad, the referee, but it's up to you to protect yourself. The worst thing that happened, you're going to fall asleep. Then they're going to figure out all your limp, and then they're going to get him off you. But right. This is the business. You know, you want to go do figure skating. There's an ice rink down the street.
So it was supposed to be Bo Nickel against what's his name? Yoel Romero.
I know. Romero, which would have been a fantastic match. Yoel just ate himself out of the weight class. His muscles are just too goddamn huge.
It was the funniest thing. At the press conference, right, Bo Nichols said he was upset because he should have been the main event because not Colby Covington versus Luke Rockhold let's be honest, both Bo and Yoel are bigger names in wrestling, or have done more in wrestling, right? So Colby and Luke took that to heart, and they're like, "Hey, listen," they called him Bozo Nickel, right? So then at the press conference, Bo Nickel is in the crowd, and they both start double teaming on him. I never saw two guys, Luke and
honestly, bro. If you would play that clip, you would make yourself this channel go even harder. Because, bro, They fucking lit him up, dog. They fucking roast him up. Hey, Bo had to sit in the corner holding his dick. And like, he had to. And hey, that's a fucking villain origin story, bro. This guy is going to go to the gym angry about that. Because they were right, bro. They were right.
Like, he got you got some boring entitled bozos in this building that think they should be in the headliner. My name's in history in Madison Square Garden for being the biggest draw there, you know. Didn't you get beat up by
you ain't wrong.
I forgot. Remember your cardio, you were out. You got beat up by a Dutch kickboxer. That's right. Come on, Bo. Come on, bro. You never been. Have you ever been a main event? No, you never been a main event. You been on, bro. Hey, how many times did you shower at Happy Valley at the Penn State with Jerry Sandusky? I gotta know.
I think
the rest of them's like this.
Turn him off. Turn him off, bro. See, now he went, but that's what Colby does, bro. He's going to get him cranked up, bro. He's going to fucking say something homoerotic.
Yeah, it was all funny games until how many times did you shower with Jerry Sandusky?
Exactly. Now he's like, okay, he really went. He jumped the shark as he normally does. But all right, you want to keep playing it? Does he have more in the tank?
Yeah, of course.
That just kill the sport of wrestling. We need stars. We need people that are willing to be vocal and call their shots.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be too easy, bro. You're a bum. Come on, dude. You're a Dutch kick. You got broken by a Dutch kickboxer, man. Come on. Come on. Come on, dude. You're a bum, dude. You're nobody.
What are we talking about?
There's a reason. Come on.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about big money up here, not nobodies. We're talking about Luke Rockhold, first ballot Hall of Famer, not some unproven kid in the corner that's never done anything.
Truth hurts, bro.
A sport that built another.
So then Luke then takes Colby's side. So they're supposed to be going against each other, and then Luke then
they're
all of a sudden.
They're proven guys. They're proven guys. They have shut up. Look, yeah, Luke's on a fucking slide, but he's a goddamn proven man, a proven fighter, and he is a master. Bo Nickel is a one-dimensional young guy who needs to figure out the rest of the game and become the champion that he could be.
Yes, but to take the other side, okay, and I agree with you, Jason, in wrestling, which is what they're doing right now, Bo Nickel and Yoel Romero.
You ain't got to agree with me, though, but we're talking fight sports, selling tickets, being up there. The wrestling, that's not Olympic wrestling. That's a showbiz wrestling,
but
bro.
It's real American freestyle wrestling. It's real American freestyle wrestling.
Correct. So is that affiliated with the Olympics? Is that the Olympic qualifier?
I think it does count.
College?
It counts.
You're telling me it goes in. Okay, so it goes in with the NCAA.
No, but it goes into the Olympics. These matches count towards
ranking.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great. Well, then, fantastic. Then Bo need to get in there with somebody his level. Yoel is old, and I love him, and he's one of the best, and could have a chance to win. But why not see that kid from fucking Wisconsin or Minnesota or give a guy a chance to build his name against Bo Nickel?
No, okay. But I'm saying I see your point. Look, they're trying to sell tickets. Obviously, Yoel Romero versus Bo Nickel, wrestling fans will get into
badass.
It. But MMA fans, which is a way wider net right now, are going to see Colby Covington versus Luke Rockhold. So they kind of both have a point. They're kind of both correct on who should be the headliner. I can see both their points, but here's what Luke says.
Their sport. The reason why wrestling here is on the stage is because of MMA.
Facts.
You've done absolutely nothing in the sport of MMA. You quit. You quit before the knee even hit you both. Just button it up.
Look how bad he's crying over in the corner.
How many world championships have I won?
All right.
What have you done on a world stage? Absolutely nothing.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game, okay? You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, You browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on with Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events. All right, they have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you don't like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot. Whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, et cetera. All right, go to Game Time Picks, all right? They make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
So
Jason, whose side are you on here? You're obviously you're on the MMA side.
No, well, I'm on MMA side, but Bo Nickel needs to get off his high horse. Okay, his wrestling days are over, and it's time to become an MMA fighter. He is a excellent talent at wrestling, and now he needs to develop outside of his little happy valley over there.
Right, he needs to
get outside.
I mean, he won in a head kick his last fight.
Well, now they're saying that's the talk.
But listen, I don't need special moves. I don't need special moves. I need him to learn fundamental MMA where he can box with somebody with the little gloves on. He can wrestle with kicks. He can kick and wrestle and box. He needs to do that jujitsu. Show me a fucking choke, bro.
He's a top caliber
wrestler and hasn't finished nobody. He's got to choke somebody out, dude. Let's say, Bill, who are the strength?
So who are the two best jujitsu guys? With Gordon Ryan and the other guy, right?
Craig Jones, probably the GOAT.
Okay,
Nicky Rod might be one of the best right now.
So let's say it was called Real American Jiu-Jitsu, and Gordon Ryan and Craig Jones were on the undercard to Colby Covington and Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
Would there be an argument with Greg Jones and Gordon Ryan?
Well, I mean, obviously the way that Luke Rockhold and Colby reacted, they were clearly insecure about their placement as the headliner. That was a little bit of the Lady Death protest too much kind of situation. Like Luke Rockhold knows.
I don't think so.
Particularly Luke Rockhold knows he doesn't deserve to mainline that event.
Well, yeah, but he has more name recognition than Bo Nickel. Like people know who Luke Rockhold is. Like Bo Nickel, we hardcores know him because he's an excellent wrestler who is supposed to be something. But so far, yeah, he got fucked off by a Dutch kickboxer and landed a head kick on the other fight. So now they're saying,
interesting question. So now that I'm turning it up, but now they're saying it's going to be Colby Covington, Bo Nickel on the White House lawn. Right. I guess that's what they're trying to make.
That's a great match. That's a great match for fucking Bo Nickel to try to flex it out. An old veteran who got a bunch of moves. He has all the fucking skills to whip your ass, but you got youth on your side. You got you could take him the distance and still go hard. And so Bo Nickel has a fucking path to win. And, man, Colby's going to be talking shit and be like snarling in your face. He's going to be trying to get in your ginger head.
And Trump said that Bo Nickel was his favorite fighter. So it's like they're fighting for the Trump belt. Who do you think? Now, obviously, Bo's a little heavier. I think he's 185, right? And Colby's a small 170. Who do you
catch weight?
Sean McCorkle, now that you're with us, who wins that fight, you think, between Bo Nickel and Colby Covington?
I love Colby, man, but I don't see any way he beats Bo Nickel. I don't know why Colby has only fought one time a year for like 5 years in a row is what I can't figure out. That's he must be making a lot of money outside the cage because it doesn't make any sense to me at all. He hasn't been injured as far as I know, and it just doesn't make sense that he doesn't fight. So
now when these guys go to Mar-a-Lago, right, because he's always at Mar-a-Lago, Do they get sponsored, or do people pay for them to go to Mar-a-Lago? Does it cost money? How does Mar-a-Lago work?
I got thrown out one time trying to sneak on the grounds down there. I was only 19 or 20 years old, but I wanted to see what it looked like. And they had no trespassing signs everywhere, but I went ahead and climbed over a gate, went in there anyway. And then two guys that looked like they worked for the Secret Service came out and confronted me and escorted. Yeah. I was down in West Palm Beach. Yeah. So,
how would you go unnoticed? You're 7 foot four. I mean,
security gate, like Andre the Giant used to step over the ropes to get in the ring. Like, that's probably when they knew there was a problem. So,
Jason,
every time I go to Mar-a-Lago, I just have my massage therapist bring me.
Have you
she's
ever went
in high school, but she's working on it.
Oh God. Have you ever went to Mar-a-Lago, Jason?
Hell no, man. Come on, Bo. The Secret Service better me though. They said I'm clear to go. So
one of the funniest things was when you were in jail and we had the podcast and Colby was on.
That was funny.
Maybe you had just gotten out and we had Colby on the podcast and you said that all the guards were rooting for Colby in the jail. That was one of the, you said his fights were
on. It was true, bro. They let me watch it. Let me watch it through the bubble. I was like, yeah, I like Kobe. Let's see what's up. And then he whooped the guy's ass. It was nice one. The guards were pretty happy about that.
What's the bubble?
Oh, my bad. The bubble is like the security bubble in which the cops reside to watch over the rest of the tank. It's so far removed from my lexicon, I had to go dig it up in there. Yeah, the bubble. It's a security realm where they can see all the cameras and they can make sure that you don't hang yourself.
Oh, you know how like those movies where there's always like a prison fight team, there's like a boxing ring in the prison and they let the guys go at it or somehow. Was there ever a boxing ring in the jail?
Well, not a ring, but we would box on the recreation court, you know. It's a small court that like a boxed in little area for you to run around in a circle or play basketball or whatever. But I just started training the guys in boxing. I make some gloves out of flip flops and socks. And then have the guys hit pads and stuff that I fashioned out of similar materials. And yeah, I did that. Every once in a while, the cops would look in from the bubble and say, hey, stop boxing. And then we'd just look at them for a second and continue boxing them.
Anybody have talent?
No. Well, okay, absolutely. In the jailhouse, of course, but it's guys that have wasted their bodies on drugs and drinking and sort of doing mistakes, robberies, and this kind of stupidity. And so the guy is not very smart about his body and eats nothing but sugar and whatever. So, yeah, he is strong for like 10 minutes or something, but then he's fizzles out and you know, so there's natural. There's one kid who was a dark-skinned Indian, sort of a Native American, but from South America, I think, or Central, who was very talented, punching and whatever. But then he went off his schizophrenia meds, and he was inconsolable.
Got it.
He thought that he was married to Kim Kardashian, and he kept the rules of the jail that. They said the Mexican guys are not allowed to do psych meds because they want them mean and crazy and paying attention all the time. And psych meds will dull your senses. So the rules were you cannot take them. And I saw this poor kid turned into a maniac before my eyes, say that Kim Kardashian is his girl and his cousin is going to come to Kim Kardashian's house soon. And, you know, it's an unfortunate part of our society that we abuse people with mental illness. But he was tough.
You're 100% correct.
Jason, were you ever jumped in prison? Do you ever have to like really brawl when you were there?
I'm very smart, and that's like a rare skill inside of those places.
So, did you guys watch the Golden Globes with Mackenzie Dern and Brian Ortega?
No,
buddy, cringe. Three.
You got all the way to that part of the Golden Globes. Congratulations.
Play it right now.
No, I didn't watch it. I just saw everyone making fun of it. And I thought it was AI. And it wasn't. So here, I'm gonna play it. There we go. and you guys can see it, right?
Yeah, I think.
These enters are so hot right now, they get mobbed everywhere they go. So we had to bring in some extra security from the UFC.
They bring the only two hot people.
It's like fucking dogs. Yeah, fucking weird.
They bring in the two hot folks.
They don't say anything. They don't present anything. It's like a bad runway. Like, snap, snap. There was no
That's point. All they do?
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
There was no point of them being
bro,
there.
They could so have prevented. Demeaning, bro.
That was so weird.
It just lets you know how them Hollywood people look at us mixed martial artists, bro. It was like, there's like a show pony. They brought out the two handsomest, prettiest MMA fighters, and we're like, here you go, hardos. Man, it's so disrespectful, dude.
But there was no point.
Like they could have went, they could have came out and presented. They could have came out and been like, hello, I'm Brian Ortega. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Or maybe like, they tried to, but it was so terrible. They're like, we got to cut it. Well, just walk out there.
I doubt it. I don't think those kids are that dumb. They're both pretty and good fighters. I would assume they're pretty smart and could read a teleprompter.
Or pair them up with people that can talk and then have them go, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that, hey, look, if I can reach that pinnacle where it's Jack Black saying a sentence and I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, or
well, can I tell you what that is? That is Brian Ortega's manager, McKay, who put their people in show business. That's their way of saying show yourself in front of all these producers.
I mean, it's also, I think Bill, I think you have a booger, but I think also like all they had to do was not that. I mean, literally was anything. There was no point of that. I think that was like the Paramount deal. Probably like the Paramount deal was like, hey, we want to be, included in XYZ. And they're like, oh, I think it'll be a great idea. You imagine how excited those people were when you're like, hey, you're going to be on the Golden Globes. And you're like, fuck yeah. And then, okay, we're just going to walk out, look tough and come back. And there was Sean, what are your thoughts on that?
I was just glad to see another representative from the LGBTQ society made it onto the Golden Globes when they brought Ortega out. But I don't know I thought that was AI when you just did that, because I was like who would do that? That made no sense. It made no sense at all. Like not like I don't know. I'm speechless at this point because I don't understand what just happened. They just walked out and they didn't even wave. They just walked out and walked back. Like it's so bizarre.
I don't know if you guys are following the Tracy Cortez saga. You know, Tracy Cortez, she's like that hot Mexican fighter that was dating Ortega. And then she was dating Alex Pereira. And then they were making a video last week. She was like, we're going to get married. And then 3 days later, they broke it up. And all you saw was a video of was Pereira, like seemed like they were very upset jogging at night. And she's saying, listen, I love you a lot. You're a great guy, but it's just not working. So everyone's very confused so that happened. It was very strange. I mean, you don't like to have your relationships go, public like that, right? I think that walkout was so bad that not only did Bill and Mayhem get cut from the podcast, they left, but now your sound is gone. That's how bad the walkout just went. Mayhem's gone, Bill's gone, and your sound is out. All right. Also, there was another. Kayla Harrison is out of her fight. She's supposed to fight against Amanda Nunes next week. It was the big UFC, the first one ever.
Wait, she pulled out of that?
Yeah, she has a neck.
Oh my gosh, man!
She's got a neck injury.
Yeah,
which is rough because she's the champion. So now, what do they do? I guess they just don't have. They got to wait for her to. She's supposed to fight Amanda Nunes, who's supposed to win coming back. But one thing, if Nunes pulled out, because Kayla's still the champion, but Kayla's the champion. Right. So
they just dropped the fight altogether? Is it undecided
at
this point?
Yeah, they dropped the fight. Yeah.
Well, I'm not paying for that, I'll tell you that. Oh, wait. That was a weak joke. But
well, now it's like $60 for the whole year.
Right. That's what they say. I don't buy it. I think there's still going to be some way they're going to get you. I just love that when it was still pay-per-view, I had to watch commercials the whole time. Like, you know, like you're paying $70 or $80 for a fight, and then you have to watch commercials when you're not too distracted looking at all the sponsors on the cage. But it was too distracting to have sponsors on the shorts. Just, I don't,
what's the business behind making it $60 the whole year? I mean, that's gotta, how do you go from $80 an event with two events a month to $60 for the whole year? Like, how does that math work?
I think their move is to try to get everyone. I think the whole thing with Paramount, everybody knows free TV is going away. So I think it's just going to, everything's going to be subscription for every network eventually. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to pay $60 a year for ESPN, $60 for Paramount, $60 for, you know, whatever. And I think that's the way it's all going, like just subscription service. I really do think free TV is going away, you know?
But do you think maybe that, I mean, so I'm just thinking out loud here, but do you think maybe they're going, okay, we're losing all this money to free streams anyway. So those people, would they pay $60 to not stream it?
Yeah.
And then they're going, well, because I mean, I would just assume that the money that they're going to lose from not having $80 an event is going to be way more than they're going to get on $60 a year. But maybe Paramount, yeah. Maybe Paramount has so much money anyway that it's like, okay, whatever. You know, it's like they can make money on all.
It might be one of those things where they got all that money, they're just throwing it away, hoping Paramount, you know, that everybody will get hooked on their other shows. Which I don't pay for a single subscription service other than Netflix. I'm not going to pay for any of that Hulu or any of that other stuff, you know, like I don't understand it, but I do think it's interesting. They asked Dana the other day, what is he going to do about fighters that had a piece of the pay-per-view? Like their pay was, you know, and he's like, well, fighter pay will continue to go up. And I'm like, continue to, like, what do you mean? Like it's, but it was like when the sponsorship deal got canceled, everything went to Reebok. Like these guys will still get taken care of. Then you got $3,500 instead of 80,000 for your sponsorship or whatever. It's just another thing where they're going to start flat paying guys. You know, you're not going to get a percentage of anything, you know, like, and it's just going to, some of that lost money will be taken out of fighters' purses also. You know, like nobody's getting any part of the pay-per-view anymore. So
I mean, the good news for the UFC is that the other organizations are 10 times worse as far as yeah. business deals. Like the PFL, I don't understand. Like there was 4 weeks. The last 4 weeks has not been one UFC event. There has not been one. Why wouldn't the PFL go fucking crazy? And just start,
you would think.
I mean, somebody put together a card. There's nothing on people are literally tuning into, you know, Jake Paul versus whoever, or they're running for the Real American Freestyle Wrestling, or there's all these things that people are now tuning into because there's nothing on. Like now right. would have been the perfect time to throw in PFL events. And somebody had to have known, look, here's the UFC calendar. They have nothing. This we're going to start 2026 off with a bang. We're just going to overload it. We're going to showcase our guys. We're going to have Ngannou. We're going to have UFC guys show up to the events. Instead, they have PFL Africa and PFL Switzerland or PFL fucking Mars that no one knows any of these guys. Like, talk about dropping the ball. And they're just firing every, I'm on some PFL email list sometimes. Anytime they hire somebody, I get an email going, we just hired Stephen Buchanan as our, and I'm like, who's excited about this other than Steve Buchanan? Like, who is this for? You're going to find out that in a couple of years, Netflix is going to have like one of those docuseries about all the PFL money and how it all went to just three guys. Because none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, or that's a Ponzi scheme of some kind. Like it was never, they were never in business.
It's fucking crazy.
To make money. Hey, I did see Kevin Farley do a stand-up over last weekend. It was awesome. He was in Indianapolis.
How was he?
Or whatever. He was actually really, really good. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I told him afterward, because whoever owns that comedy club is under the way mistaken impression that I'm famous. Like he thought, like gave me like unlimited seats there. Letting everyone I know in, I brought like 10 people, you know, or whatever. And then they announced me when I was there and nobody gave a fuck, man. Like nobody's there even knew who I was or cared. And then he's like, hey, man, if it's not too much trouble afterward, Kevin would like to take some pictures with you. Like I'm more famous than him, you know, or whatever. And then
kind of are. I hate to say it, but you are. If anyone doesn't know, Kevin Farley is Chris Farley's brother, who looks right. just like Chris Farley. And he's the nicest guy you've ever met. He's like, unfortunately, he looks just like Chris Farley. So people think right. they're going to get this wild, crazy guy. And he's the most normal, down-to-earth, like straight shooter. I don't think there's any drugs, no alcohol. Everything that Chris Farley trapped that he went in, Kevin did not. And he goes up there, he tells a lot of stories. He's a storyteller, right?
Right, yeah. It's his stuff is weird because his stories afterward, I talked about Norm Macdonald and stuff like afterward and Chris Kattan. I had him laughing real hard, which was weird because he really is the most sincere non-Hollywood guy you've ever met. It was like talking to your uncle or something. You know what I mean? Like he was like the nicest person ever. He was saying that something about Chris Kattan not being able to walk straight. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen him do anything straight, to be honest with you. And then like he started cracking up, you know, like but we were talking after, and I was telling him, you know, trying to get my son Trey, like, you know, in. But that, and then they're telling me, hey, you guys should come down here. You could both do a set, because I was like joking with the comedy club owner or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what my son wants, is to follow me in comedy. You know what I mean? Like have me start stealing the spotlight there, you know, or whatever. But we were talking. I brought up, I don't know if you ever saw where Norm Macdonald said, I don't know why I'm telling a secondhand story, but it was amazing. Where Norm Macdonald's on Howard Stern with him, and he said like he worked on a stand-up comedy, and everybody compares him to Chris all the time. So Norm Macdonald's like had him sing a song. You remember that song, like My Name Is Lisa, or I'm Not Lisa, My Name Is Whatever.
The Ting Ting.
You'll have to see the clip. Never mind. It's really funny, but I brought it up.
That's
I
was not like, my name. That? That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Tan 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 Tan.
Said. And the finishing line is, Chris was funny, I am not. Like, that was his finishing line on the song, you know, that Norm wrote for him. But he told a story about Norm Macdonald having him smoke weed one time. Like, hey, why don't you smoke some weed when he came to his house? And then he smokes it and then tries to offer it to Norm. Norm's like, oh, I don't touch that stuff, you know, or whatever. Like, and he's like, you don't smoke weed? Norm's like, no, that's peyote. Like, giving him peyote or something.
Oh, wow.
So then he said he starts freaking out. And he's like, dude, I'm like having hallucinations. What's going on? He goes, was that really peyote? And Norm's like, no, no, no. But yeah, it was. And then he's like, but no, seriously, is it or not? He goes, dude, I would never do that to you. But I would never smoke peyote either. You know, like you said, he said to this day, he still doesn't know, but he thinks it was peyote. You know,
Norm Macdonald on The View is the funniest thing. When he starts calling, saying Hillary Clinton murdered people. Like,
right.
I guess what happened was he was up for 3 days straight gambling and he forgot he had to do The View. And he shows up and he hadn't slept in like 3 days. And then he just starts saying, and then they start yelling at him. Oh, it's if you look up Norm Macdonald The View, it might be the funniest thing ever.
Barbara Walters hated his guts on that. That was awesome. He just kept
up. They all hated him. They were all so mad at him. By the way, so back to MMA a little bit, because I want to get your opinion on this guy. I want to get this guy on the podcast. He seems like he only has 500 followers on his thing. His name is Ayin Varela, because this guy is special. I don't know much about his fighting skills. He seems to be winning a lot. So here we go. Share. But I'm so fucking. This really should be called MMA Boomers. I'm sorry. Like somebody said that because we are boomers. So here we go. And look at this guy's post fight.
That shit happens to me all the time. I'm used to this shit. I fucking train with Ray Borg. He's a fucking flyweight motherfucker. I'm fucking heartbroken. Time out. The only reason I got into this sport was because these fucking stupid girls want to keep fucking breaking my fucking heart. And my grandma fucking died. So yeah, I'm not with me. The fuck off.
Well, it was very impressive, man. Ian, we look forward to seeing you again. You're welcome.
Hard to believe that guy would have relationship issues.
So he only got into the sport because these fucking girls keep breaking his heart and his grandma died. Sorry about his grandma died. That sounds horrible. But in this context, I mean, we got to get that guy in the show.
For sure.
I mean,
I'm going to be Googling him as soon as I get off here.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to hit him up, Ayin, Iyean Varela. So he got into the sport because girls keep breaking his heart. Is that why people get into the sport usually?
I know that's why I did. Yeah, it's actually in a weird way. I got divorced and then I started fighting. So maybe that was it. I didn't know. And I later said I killed my grandma. So it's kind of, we have the same story, really. So think about it.
You have the same story. Also, you weren't here for this, Scott, but we have an update. So these two girls are fighting. It's a very big fight. It's in Russia. These things only seem to happen in Russia. I wanted to get your take on this. This is a very, very serious fight. It's like Clash 15 in Russia. So Clash 15, if you guys are fans of that, I know a lot of our fans are going to be watching this. So can you see, Sean?
Yeah, it looks like they're making out, though.
Yeah. So this is the press conference. So it starts here. There we go. This was the beginning. They're facing each other. And then one girl flashes the other. seems like there's a lot of bad blood here.
Yeah.
Might be chlamydia, actually. But and then here, it gets even better. So then here, I guess, I don't know if this is before or after. We have to get to the bottom of this. But they start making out.
Tak takovýste nás jsme tu ještě neměli. Dominika Horáková a Tereza Sladilová, jedny z
Sean, who do you think is going to win this fight?
You know, it's safe to say they put their beef behind them, though, I guess, you know, or whatever. They're no longer upset with each other, but it's God, the world is crazy, man. Like, that is, I thought fighting in a telephone booth or with one foot inside of a tire, like anything that Mayhem announces was going to be as far as it goes. But now they're just doing full on lesbians making out during,
if two guys start making out, though, how pissed would Dana White be? Like, if two guys at a press conference faced off, he probably just canceled the fight, right? You think if two guys, or would he let it, maybe he would let it go just because there'd be eyeballs on it and stuff.
I don't know, but I bet you Bruce Buffer would love it. Like, if he was. He was there, but yeah, no, I think they definitely need somebody to clean up the vomit, I think, afterward from the press conference, like two guys make it out, dude. That would be actually kind of be funny if you think about it. But
well, what happened was my friend Chuck Palumbo, you would love this guy. So my friend Chuck Palumbo, he was
I actually know who that is.
Yeah, he was a basketball player.
Yeah, I used to be a pro wrestler, right?
Yeah, pro wrestler. But he basically was like not playing on his basketball team in college, and he was in some hotel. And he put on a TV and it said, "Hey, want to be a pro wrestler? Train at the lab and whatever." So he goes down and he's the only one. Basically, they take your money and they try to get you to quit at like these
right. things.
So they try to like get everyone through, like they make everyone run like 19 miles and 10,000 push-ups. That way they get to keep your money. And he was the only one that lasted. So cut to next thing you know, him and Sean O'Hare, who actually had a couple MMA fights, who got used to just
right.
Get,
I know him too. Yeah.
So he was him and O'Hare and Stasiak, the three of them. They were like the young guns, I think they were called, a young something. Anyway, he was doing pretty good for a while. And then when WWE bought WCW, Vince tried to like embarrass all these guys by giving them the all worst right. gimmicks. They're like, oh, so basically he was like, you guys together. So him and the ass, Mr. Ass, badass Bobby.
Yeah, Billy Gunn or something.
Yeah. So they were the gay couple, right? But they just told them, "Hey guys, be flamboyant," and they were like, "Oh fuck it, if we're gonna be the gayest couple," and it somehow went over. So everyone now is like the biggest fans of these two, and they were gonna get married on wrestling. And I remember as like a teenager turning on the television and then the whole crowd is yelling, "It rhymes with maggot, maggot." Maggot, put an F there. I'm like, what kind of television? The whole crowd's yelling that, and then they beat each other up at the wedding. Like they like that instead of getting married, it was like they were right. having an affair with someone. But he was telling me how bad he felt because they went on Good Morning America that day, and they were getting all these gay awards, like from like GLAAD and all the like right. to thank them for being like great for the homosexual community. And meanwhile, they know that they're gonna end up. So yeah. Anyway, this guy. This guy Palumbo, you would love him. He's like 6'6", just jacked. He used to train. Since wrestling, he opened up a car shop where he fixes old vintage cars. That and then he had a TV show about it. Then he became a cop. He was a cop, and he told me that one time he arrested a guy on like a for like robbing a house, and the guy was like, "Holy shit, it's Chuck Palumbo!" Right? So like the guy. And now he's doing something else. He's got like two daughters. They're smoking hot. They're in their 20s. They came to the show. I was like, "Dude, your daughter's so hot." But yeah, this guy's. And then also he was his other character was like it was like an Italian mobster character where like everyone was a mobster. I forgot the name of it. Like something Italians, like FBI. They were called full-blooded Italians. But one of them was like Mexican and just did the worst accent you've ever heard. So like it was, but yeah, this guy, Chuck Palumbo.
Man is such a genius, man. His ideas were always amazing. Like he really did. It's awesome. I had a couple of one-liners that I blew on the way there. You just said that you turned on the TV And they were making out, and I was like, it was the opposite of Bruce Buffer. Like, he was watching the make out, then the TV turned him on. But then I had another one, but I can't. Oh, about the old thing with the marriage thing you were saying. Oh, God, I blew it. Never mind. I had a great joke.
So,
but I lost it.
And before we leave, a couple other things. I don't know if you're following the whole Patty Pimlet, Dan Hooker beef.
Are they into it? They're into it now?
Yeah, so they're in and on it. And then basically, I don't even know how the thing got started, but Patty Pimlet basically said, Dan Hooker, you're grappling so bad, you couldn't get someone off your mom if she was being raped. And that, like...
a long road to travel to get to that line.
So that infuriated Dan Hooker, which I could see right. Why. I mean, let's so, and then Dan,
if there's anything I know about Dan Hooker, it's that if his mom was getting raped, his grappling would be good enough to get the guy off her, you know, or whatever. Like, that's an untrue statement. Like, they've already been through that. They've talked through that in depth, and he's sure that he would be able to get the guy off him.
The Patty said it was a hypothetical. Like, your mom wasn't getting raped.
Well, I would hope.
So then Dan came back and said something about, like, RIP to his friend who killed himself. So that, like, this thing got really ugly really quick. It started off.
Sounds like something I would do.
I mean,
like the guy, did I ever tell you about the guy who started mouthing off to me? Robin, my fiance, wife, girlfriend, made me promise that I would start being nicer to people on Facebook, or at least give them a chance when they talk shit to not get their feelings hurt real bad. Yeah. So this guy came out with something. I posted something about my kids or something, and he said something cocky. So I DM'd him, and I was like, hey, man, take that off there. Like, I'm going to hurt your feelings if not. And he starts running his mouth, and even on my page, like, oh, look, he's a pussy, try this and that, like posting my thing to him, you know, like my message to him. And I'm like, dude, I just said, listen, I'm going to really, like, this ends one way, and it's done it 1,000 times before. This ends with you crying yourself to sleep tonight and blocking me on here. Like, this is the way, like, stop, you know? And he just kept at it. So I looked on his page, and sure enough, it only took a minute to find out his mom had just died 2 weeks earlier, you know, and he's like got a whole thing to her, like, you know, like a whole tribute to her. And so then I told him, I said, hey, man, I want to bury the hatchet. I didn't realize that your mom was one of my biggest fans. You know, I said, tell her thanks for coming to my last fight. And I found a picture online of, like, I don't know, like a UFC Halloween at some point or whatever. And they had a skeleton sitting front row. You know what I mean? Like, as a picture, as like at the event. And so then I posted that picture like that was his mom at my last fight, you know, or whatever. And then he threatened to kill me and all kind of stuff. Like, it got really, really ugly after that. But then he blocked me and cried himself to sleep. So.
At what point, though, Sean, like, because that's hilarious in an evil, dark way. But at what point are you just like, you know what? Because I all the time people are telling me, like, I get it a lot. You suck. You're not funny. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you get especially on the Gutfeld clips. And a lot of times these are Gutfeld fans just don't like me. And I go on their page and I see their wives and their girlfriends and they're not, these are not the best looking people. Some of them, you know, and
right.
I'm so tempted to just screenshot them and go, hey, by the way, this is you, you know, and then put like, but I'm like, no, because I'm not going to, I want to, but I'm like, you know what? Number one, I'm giving that person the attention they want because the worst feeling is feeling ignored, which is what I'm doing. I'm ignoring them. And number three, it's like now I'm elevating it now to the next level, you know?
Right.
So I try to be the bigger person and just say, okay, does that ever occur to you to, like, let's be the bigger person?
Yeah, I've always felt like it's overrated being the bigger person. Like, I really do. Like, it. I really think it's overrated. I think I've always been that way, though. Like, if someone spits in my food, I think I should have the right to murder them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it should be legal. You know, like, I've always been that way. Like, don't, I was telling somebody that one day when I went overboard with something they said, and I said, dude, if Cain Velasquez walked in here, I wouldn't, like, smack him in the face without knowing I'm getting my ass kicked. You know what I mean? Or whatever. And when I decide to do that, I get what I get, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, like, Cain's unfortunately a good, well, cause I would have done the same thing that Cain did. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If somebody molested my kid, God forbid, you know, and I have a gun on me, like, I'm sorry, but, like, as a father, I understand what he's doing. I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I understand the reason not to do that, and there's a law, and you can't take the law into your own hands, and blah, blah, blah. But I can't believe that a jury wouldn't side with Cain on that.
Right. No, and they, the judge sided with him, and that's why I hope he gets out here pretty soon. But that's what somebody was saying. I was saying something about that online, and somebody was saying something about Kane. He took the law in his own hands or this or that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. He said he shot the guy's stepfather, you know, on accident. I said, well, I know if I had a stepson and he molested someone's son, I probably wouldn't be driving around with him, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, I wouldn't be hanging out with him. So sometimes you hang out with people, you get maybe something you didn't personally deserve, you know, or whatever. Actually, I think
that,
I said maybe
is that wrong of me to say that, like –
No, dude, I'm with you, Hunter. Anyone who has a kid understands that, you know, whatever. Like, it's, I think it's pretty sad. I don't want to get political, but the reason that the sex crimes like rape and child molestation, I firmly believe the only reason that the penalties are so light is because the politicians that make the laws and the judges that enforce them can kind of like, they kind of understand why you'd want to fuck a kid, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, I think they're kind of like empathetic toward them. Like, I mean, everybody's wanting to rape somebody sometime, you know, or whatever. Like, so otherwise, why does a guy who has a pound of weed get 20 years in jail and then someone else that molests 65 kids, you know, or whatever, like it gets 6 months. Like, it just doesn't make sense, man.
Dude, that's why, that's why when I was in China or whenever I go to like overseas, women are always telling me they feel so much safer over there because if anyone gets accused of anything, they go, like, if a guy gets accused of rape, there's no trial. There's no this.
Yeah.
It's like they're going to jail for a long time.
I know. Yeah, I know. In Saudi Arabia, man, they publicly behead you. If you were to molest a kid, they take you out in public. And I've got friends that live over there. They said you don't see it much on the news, obviously, but he said legitimately, if you molest a kid, they just go and behead you in public. And he said, like, no one gets molested over there. Like, it does. Like, that's how you end it, you know. But I'm very, I don't know if you call it very far to the right, very extreme when it comes to my views on sex offenders and people like that, like, or murderers to a degree. It depends on why they killed somebody, you know. Earlier, that's what I was going to say about marriage. You said something, they took your money. The wrestling thing, you were saying they took your money and made you quit, you know, on the wrestling school.
Yeah.
Like, that was their plan, take your money and make you quit. I was saying it's the exact opposite of marriage. They make you quit, then take your money. But I don't know. It was a good line.
Let's go over some news stories, because you're the exact person I want to have these news stories. All right. So the Trump administration is reportedly considering paying each Greenland resident up to $100,000 in order to take over Greenland. And I said, doing so would cost America $100,000.
What is that, $500,000?
Have you been to Greenland? I've actually been to Greenland. I've been to Greenland because I did the show at a military base there. It's crazy. First of all, it is just empty space. There are people that live there, but it's like 30,000 people. It's like smaller than the cities. And there's snow foxes everywhere. Those beautiful little foxes that are adorable. And we have a base there that controls all the satellites. All the satellites, is controlled from Greenland. And then there's a guy that literally all day long was looking through this thing. And I'm like, what are you looking for? He's like, oh, we're looking to see if missiles are being launched. And we're looking for flying saucers. And we're looking for UFOs. I go, have you seen anyone? No. How long have you been here? 12 years. So, like, literally, it's right. That's what they, yeah, great. It's crazy.
He said, we've been looking for women that Dominic Cruz has been romantically linked with, too. We haven't seen any of those either. So, there's been no women he's been linked to.
Dominic Cruz has been with some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. All right. A California judge rules that teachers have a right to now tell parents if their child might be gay. So,
how does the teacher know, is my question.
So I guess back in the day, they would kids would tell teachers that they're gay, and the parents were not allowed to tell the teachers were not allowed to tell the parents the kids are gay. And I guess maybe if the kids play softball or something, the parents already figured it out, or they shouldn't kiss and tell. But yeah, so that
as opposed to Catholic schools where the teachers tell the kids they're gay and the kids aren't allowed to tell their parents. That's a great joke if you think about it.
That is, there's the research that shows that husbands will exercise more if their wife is the higher earner while at work. So if the wife makes more money, husbands will get better fit. You think that's because?
Living proof that that's not true. that is not true.
You were always the higher earner.
Huh?
You were the higher earner, though.
No, she makes way more money than me.
Oh.
She's rich.
Oh, yeah, but you're also hurt. I mean, do you think that's because guys feel like they need to look better because their wives are making more money?
Yeah, well, if you're a stay-at-home dad with no kids, I guess it's kind of like the kept women. What else they can do but go to the gym all day, like the Hollywood housewives, you know? Like, you got to stay in shape. So that's probably it. If you're I did have a friend one time that was a stay-at-home dad, but they didn't have a kid. But that's what he'd say. He goes, I'm a stay-at-home dad. But he never, like, he didn't have a kid with her. She worked, and she would always tell him, it's dumb for you to work. You only make $12 an hour, and she made a couple hundred grand a year. Like, why don't you just stay home, you know? And
he might have kids with other people, like, though. So Barbie, yeah. Mattel has released its first ever autistic Barbie doll. So it came out yesterday. It comes, I think it has a fidget spinner with it, and it comes with, it comes with, like, headphones and like, I guess, yeah. So there's autistic.
That is, I don't know if you're being serious on any of this or not. I don't know if any of that's true.
I swear. Hold on, let me see if I can find.
Wait, it actually comes with those things. I thought you were adding that part on.
No, that's what they said. I don't. That was what someone said. I don't know if it actually comes.
He said.
Autistic Barbie. Hold on. See. Let me see what I see. So yeah, so it has autistic. Barbie has autism. I don't know if those are sold separately, the shiny objects and stuff, but let me see what we got. So Marvel launches its first ever autistic Barbie. So do you see it?
I see the headline, but
the autistic Barbie elbow and wrist articulation, enabling stimming, hand flapping, and other hand gestures.
This can't be real. There's no way this is real.
This is from Mattel.com. Autistic eye gaze. The doll is designed to, with an eye gaze shifted to the side, which reflects how some members of the autistic community may avoid direct eye contact. Accessories. Each doll comes with a pink finger clip fidget spinner, noise canceling headphones, and a tablet. And it has sensory sensitive fashions. The doll wears a loose fitting purple pinstripe A-line dress with short sleeves and flowy skirt that provides less fabric to skin contact. Purple shoes complete the outfit with flat soles to promote stability and ease of movement, so it doesn't fall over and stuff.
The male doll is going to come out and it's going to own like a space exploration company building a base on Mars.
Autistic Barbie. I mean, is this promoting inclusion or is this sort of making, I don't know. I think they're going a little bit,
I think whoever came up with it has a real mean streak. That's what I think. And then they got a bunch of idiots that don't realize what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, they don't realize, like, we got to include them, guys. They need this little fidget spinner, which I don't know what it is, but it sounds like something that would come with an autistic Barbie doll. Like, what is,
Gwyneth Paltrow's teenage son said he was mortified by watching his mother's sex scenes with Timothy Chalamet of the Marty Supreme premiere. I mean, so then why bring him, right? But afterwards, I guess, I mean, also the mother had a candle that smelled like her vagina. You know that there was, she was selling candles that smelled like her vagina.
Who was?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
She was actually doing that?
Yeah, she had a candle line that said, smells like my vagina. And it was sold out in like weeks and like days. People wanted to know what her vagina smelled like. You didn't hear about that?
No. Where are you getting your news from? Autistic Barbies and vagina candles and the Island Boys? Like, you always have the scoop on everything.
Hold on. Gwyneth Paltrow. Paltrow smells like vagina. Yeah, it was like a candle. Hold on. Let me see. So here we go. There we go. I'm surprised you don't know about this.
That's much of a candle enthusiast as I am.
Gwyneth Paltrow tells Goop, why is Gwyneth Paltrow selling a candle that smells like her vagina, right? So that's the name of the article. It says, this smells like my vagina. That was the name of the candle.
What? Have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy? Because I feel like we're headed that way, like, really soon, man.
You don't, like, think we're already there?
Dude, it's I can't even, like, I don't know.
Finally, RFK says Dr. Oz reviewed Trump's testosterone and said it's the highest testosterone level he's ever seen in anyone over the age of 70.
That's not a real high bar to reach, I don't think. So sure.
And then Trump is building a luxury hotel in Saudi Arabia. They're building to Trump hotels. And so I guess you could reserve a room. Promo code is 9/11.
Oh, man.
But Sean, anything coming up?
No, nothing. Just working all the time. And by the way, I'm keep standing up and walk around because my back is killing me today. So that's what I don't want anybody to think I'm messed out or whatever. Like I have to keep standing up, moving around. Yeah, it's been on fire today. But it did snow in Indiana. It was 60 degrees yesterday, and it just started snowing 10 minutes ago. So I hate this state, man. I hate living here. It's terrible. So
let me know your address so I can send you one of those Barbies.
For sure, dude. Like it's I don't know. One of the reasons I can't do the podcast sometimes is because I don't have the 3 hours afterward to look up everything and verify it's true. Because there's no way those last three stories could actually be true. Like I have to look it up and verify it because there's no way. The vagina candles and autistic spinner fidget Barbies and just like what is going on, man.
Well, for Gutfeld, I have to look through all these stories. That's why
that's where you're like, I was sitting there thinking, who is sending you this news?
No, Gutfeld. They send me like 100 stories, and like this is, and then towards the bottom it's the miscellaneous story. And you know how you click on one story and all of a sudden like 10 other stories come up to the side and they're all kind of ridiculous. So that's why I comb through all the shit and I'm like, oh, this would be funny for I can't waste this information just on myself.
Right.
And then I tell my wife and she's like, I don't have time for this shit. I have to work. So I'm like, who else could I share this?
Your wife's like, I got to work. You're like, yeah, and I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
Because she makes more money than you, I don't know.
For real. Anyway, go to adamhuntercomedy.com to see me live where I'm going to be. And thanks, Sean. Take care, brother.
See you, buddy.
Get closer to the magic this summer and step aboard our 3 or 4 night Disney Cruise Line sailings from Southampton. Dance with some of your favorite characters. Be enchanted by West End style shows. Become immersed in imaginative dining experiences and more. Create magical family memories that will last a lifetime. Book now at disneycruise.co.uk. Subject to availability and conditions, see more on disneycruise.co.uk.